In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That hymn that we just sang is one of the new hymns in our hymnal, okay? It was written by a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor who's still alive. He's retired. But his name is Fritz Bowie. He lives in St. Louis. And if you look at the bottom, his wife, Jean, wrote the tune to it. But we've sang it now for a while here, and I think it's probably going to become a well-loved hymn in our church. It's just a great hymn. I know you just sang it, but just bear with me. I'd like you to listen again to verse 4 in particular. Yet is God here, oh yes, by word and promise clear, in mouth and soul, He makes us whole. Christ truly present in this meal. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is real. Now, I'm usually up there when you all are singing that. I don't usually get to sing it because it's during distribution, but I always, for whatever reason, hear when you sing that part, the Lord is real. And it sounds a little strange to us because it's so obvious. Well, duh, of course the Lord is real, right? And yet, the trouble with that is we often find it actually hard to believe. You know, how many times when you come into church here, or when you listen to God's word here, or when you take the sacrament here, how often do you really have that thought and that reality that God Himself is here, right? Tonight, it's not just me and the 50 or so of you. God is here. Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, is present right now with us. He is real. And He's here to talk to us in His Word. He's here to listen to our prayers. And He is here to serve us with His body and blood. This is His house. We're His guests here. And yet it's so easy to miss that. That's why I love that hymn, the end of that hymn. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is real. I think a lot of our problem, and maybe you realize this, maybe you don't, but a little bit of history really helps. That part of our problem in believing that God is really here is that we're living after the age of rationalism. In the age of rationalism, we rationalized everything. We tried to explain everything away, right? So that in our day and age, we don't really appreciate anything mysterious. We don't really have room for things supernatural, right? Or spiritual. We don't have room for something that we can't observe and study with our five senses. We need to be able to see it, touch it, taste it, whatever, right? In our day, everything for us is cold, hard facts, you know, cold, hard science. So in church, it's just wooden pews, you know, stained glass windows. It's just books with paper and ink and just a wooden statue of Jesus, just a guy in a dress, right? And just a little bit of bread and a sip of wine. That's all it is, right? Because we're rationalists. That makes sense to us. But the word sacrament is a Latin word that means mystery. God is a mystery. How are you going to rationalize God? You can't. He is a mystery, and He has to be a mystery because He is far greater than us. And Jesus being present here under bread and wine is a mystery. And if we're going to say, no, the only thing I can believe is what I can hear with and see and, you know, observe with my senses, then we don't believe in God. God is a mystery. There's something mysterious going on here in a very good way, in a wonderful way. By the way, what the word wonderful, full of wonder. That's what's going on here. Now, if you go back before the age of rationalism, before people started trying to explain everything away, then you would find Christians who had a good sense of the mysterious. They believed and they understood that this world is full of things that are beyond our five senses. For instance, that the world is full of angels and demons. Just think about how hard it is for you to believe that. Well, before the age of reason and rationalism, everyone believed that. That was the truth. It is the truth. Right? But no, we've tried to rationalize all that away. They also believed and understood that when they came into God's church and when they took the sacrament, that God was there. He is real. So here's the key parts of this mystery that we believe. It's pretty simple, but we need to understand this tonight. One is that Jesus is something more than just an ordinary man, like you or me. And two, that when God speaks a word, it's something more than just ordinary words. And three, that this bread and wine in the Lord's Supper is something more than ordinary bread and wine. So all of that mystery then comes together tonight, Maundy Thursday night. A night of wonderful mystery. Jesus gathers his disciples together. They're going to eat the Passover meal as God-fearing people have been doing for 1,000 years. And they get together and they've got the lamb, the unleavened bread, the wine, the bitter herbs. You know, they're going to remember when God brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea. So far, nothing out of the ordinary. They're in the upper room. The whole meal is prepared and ready. They say their prayers. They recite the Psalms as all of it goes and so forth. But now begins this mystery. Jesus breaks tradition and does something mysterious. He picks up that unleavened bread and he says to his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you." Then, after that, he takes the cup and says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, here is a genuine mystery. Not a mystery like, oh, here's a puzzle, you know, like the mystery books. It's not a mystery you have to solve, but a mystery like one you just stand in wonder at. The first part of this mystery is that Jesus is no ordinary man. If you or I said, "This is my body," then it would be complete nonsense. But being that God, that Jesus is true God, you can't rationalize this. Because he is God, we know that he meant, "This bread is the body I'm about to give for you on the cross in less than 24 hours. And that brings us to the second part, that God's words are more than just ordinary words. Again, if I said to you, "This is my body," that would be nonsense. It wouldn't mean anything. But when God says words, they do what his word says. So like in the beginning, God says, "Let there be light." There's light. Or when he sent the angel to Mary, she said, "You are going to conceive and bear a son." And she conceives and bears a son. That's how God's word works. So Jesus, when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood," this is a mystery. God's word does what his word says. And that, of course, then brings us to the last part of the mystery, that this bread and wine of the Lord's Supper is something more than just ordinary bread and wine. Now, again, I'm going to take you back to rationalism. Again, maybe you know all this, maybe you don't, but before the age of rationalism, everybody in the church, everyone believed that the bread and wine was the body and blood of Christ. Everybody believed that. But then came this age of rationalism. They said, "Wait a minute. That's not reasonable. That sounds weird, nonsensical, right?" And so they said, No. That's not what Jesus meant. No, we can make sense of this. He was using a metaphor. He was speaking figuratively. He didn't really mean "this is my body." He just meant "this bread symbolizes my body." And they took all the mystery away. But guess what happened when they took the mystery away? They took the whole thing away. It's worthless then. If it is not really Christ's body and blood for our forgiveness, then what is it? And that's when I bring you back to this wonderful hymn What is this bread? It's a mystery, right? Again, I'll say not a mystery as in you're never going to be able to solve it, but a mystery as we can't fully grasp it in our minds. So we take Jesus' words, this is my body, and we believe them exactly as he said them. Not a metaphor, not figurative. We believe that Jesus wanted you and me, these 2,000 years later, in this bread and wine, to receive his very body and blood. Now, to be clear, it's a sacramental presence. Remember, the word sacrament means mystery. It's a mysterious presence, a supernatural presence. But it is a very real presence. Christ's true body and blood under the bread and the wine for us. Now, we don't try to explain that away. We simply believe him. Taste and see the Lord is real. So tonight, finally, we do what St. Paul tells us to do in the 1 Corinthians 11. He says to examine ourselves. So this is what we'll do very quickly. Do we believe this mystery? Do we believe that Jesus Christ was not only a man, but true God who gave himself for our sins on the cross? And do we believe his word, that it does what it says? Do we believe that this bread and wine, in a great and wonderful mystery, is his very body and blood for you and me for our forgiveness? As I said, it's not a scary, spooky mystery or a mystery that needs solving. It's just a mystery that we come here tonight and say, it's awesome. It is full of awe. It's full of wonder. And we believe him and we trust him and we rejoice in it. Praise God that 2,000 years ago, he wanted you and me to have this wonderful mystery, that he himself would be here with us under this sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.